Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Concern and
Rob
Deering.
Let's run off.
We are R-U-N-N-O-F-F-T.
It's a sunny morning, isn't it, again?
Yeah. Nice. It's really funny because it's absolutely lovely, but I do feel much more like, and that is as it should be. It's amazing how quickly you get used to lovely weather.
Yeah.
A couple of days of grey there. Like, what's this all about?
Although we had a great moment, I think, was it Saturday when it hailed for a little bit?
Right.
And we got caught actually on the parkland where me and Rachel were just walking the dog.
Yeah.
And it was just really good fun. It was just really good fun to get caught in the rain and the hail. It was one of those lockdown, wow, it's real life.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a really vivid experience. That's right. Well, nature.
Conversely, storm came in on, must have been Saturday afternoon, I assume it was the same time.
Yeah.
And we were kind of in on Saturday, kind of rattling around, kids not doing much because they didn't have to do the schoolwork. Me and Judy were cleaning.
Yeah.
And then the massive storm, and suddenly we went from all being bored doing incredibly mundane stuff to going, oh, it's good to be safe in here, isn't it? Safe in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
So really, it's a win-win when the hail comes down.
It was a nice bit of drama.
No, the end of last week, I was out on Hackney Marshes. We're back on the Parkland walk with incredible leafy sunshine.
Beautiful.
I was out in Hackney Marshes again.
Yeah.
My favourite spot the other day. And it was fantastic. Thank you. Fantastic. Huge bank of kind of blue-grey clouds up behind the trees.
You know?
So, it's so dramatic. So nice to run out in the cool. Sometimes it's nice to run in the rain. I love running in the rain. And it started raining.
Yeah.
And it was horrible.
Yeah.
It's kind of coming in hard, but hitting me in the face. Going, I love running in the rain. It's just horrible.
Well, Parkland Way is great because there's an awful lot of coverage.
A lot of cover, yeah.
So it's best of both worlds. It's like being outside but indoors. It's like a roof. It's like running with your own roof.
Yeah. It's a lot like going to centre parks.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that film Downsize?
With Matt Damon?
With Matt Damon, yeah.
No.
Because I saw it last night, actually, and it was... I only saw that because they lived in a... It's about people who physically downsize.
Yeah, to make more room.
For ecological reasons and save the planet, etc.
It's Alexander Payne, isn't it?
It is Alexander Payne. Yeah, so I went because I was... because I love Alexander Payne. And I only saw that because I live in a community with a roof. But it's a good movie. It's funny. It's really funny and interesting and different. Because I had a sideways evening.
Sideways is one of my favourite films of all.
Yeah, it's in my top five.
Yeah.
But what it's become code for is I've got really drunk on Friday. Because I can't watch it. I can't watch it without drinking.
No, that's right.
A lot.
And it's such a three-dimensional positive-negative relationship with red wine.
It's a kind of
metaphor that the whole beautiful, sad film hangs on.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad film to drink to.
No, it's...
But it is a bad film to drink to.
It was It was the film that propelled my interest into red wine, actually.
Right.
I really accelerated it. So both me and Odbins owe it a lot.
So when did you... Was that on Friday? Well, give me the... Tell me your week with runs and films and drinking.
Well, I had a few days off running last week. It was going to be a really good one, a really good week, and I was going to run loads, and then I just didn't.
Any reason? Was there a twang or something?
No, it was just sort of life stuff and bits of writing, and I just never got around. I was always like, oh, I'm going to run later today, and then I didn't.
Yeah.
I still ended up doing about 25 miles in the week.
Sounds like maybe your running just slightly slipped on the dial from need to want.
Yeah, it was... But then I went out and did 12 on Sunday.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoyed.
Where did you go?
I needed and wanted. I just ran up here and then ran around the woods a few times. Ali Pali, up Muzzle Hill, did a few loops. It just all racks up, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
By the end. And it felt good. It felt good to run a bit further.
Yeah, I felt the distance last week. When we last ran.
Yeah.
I was aware from the time before that running up to Hackney, then going around it three times, then going back again, is like just under 12 miles.
Yeah.
And I'd also been thinking in general that I really want to do a half at some point just to remind myself that I could, you know.
Right.
Just the distance.
Yeah.
Not for pace or anything, just to little note in my own diary that says, yeah, you can still run 13.1 miles, you know. So, I went to home after running with you.
Yeah.
And got to my house and had a look, and sure enough, 11.85. It was a really hot day as well, do you remember?
Yes.
But yeah, I just had this moment, I thought, oh, go on then.
I'm going to do it.
And just 2 feet from my house on the corner there, where I start my 5K, actually.
Right.
I kind of went round the block and ran... Made it up to 13.1.
Good for you.
It was really nice, and it's so funny, that moment. It was nice to that... she gave you a dirty look, didn't she?
Don't know.
I think you're not supposed to go near that dog, I don't know. Anyway, I'm not going to get into the whole angry other Parkland
not
walkers
yet, not
thing.
Yet.
Not yet. Hold it back. She didn't know. I think it could... Genuinely, she might have just thought, what the hell's that microphone for?
Yeah, it's easy to project, isn't
it? To misread a face, that's right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if I'd been a dog, I'd have thought, what's said? That hand gesture's pretty brusque.
Well, the the dog thing's gone a bit. People, don't, you know, they should be on a lead, but they don't have to be. It's become one of those sort of
areas. Yeah, it's
areas.
A battleground.
Yeah.
Battleground with poo on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really nice. I thought that I wanted to, you know, remind myself that I could do that distance.
Yeah.
But instead, the reminder of distance training was that kind of resigned moment where you see how far you've gone and you go, oh, all right. And you turn away from your house, you know.
Yes, yeah.
It took me about years to the first times I was trying to get myself up to 15, 16, 20 miles, you know.
Yeah.
I remember getting back to Highbury Field when I'd run all around London to get, I don't know what it was, but I think it was probably something big.
Yeah.
Just before the taper for my first marathon, and getting to Highbury Field and just biting the bullet and heading for Clissold Park instead of heading for my house, you know?
Yeah, those are big moments.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And they're so small.
Yeah.
It's just you on your own out there.
No one would know.
Broken.
No one else would know but you. Yeah.
And you don't think it's a cousin of the much more dramatic moment you had in your sub three when you think, I'm going to do this.
Yes.
And you don't think, yay, I'm going to do this. Yeah. You're like, oh, God, here we go.
Yeah, here we go. This is the kind of person I am.
Yes, that's right.
It's a very private contract, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm disappointed to find that this is the decision I've made. So anyway, that was... we had opposite weeks last week because I did that. And that was also me throwing the idea of a taper week in the bin, you know?
Yeah.
And so I went out again on Wednesday... And on Friday, and I was going to do my fast five on Friday, but I just went for an all run.
Yeah.
And then did the five on Saturday. Just just did a few more miles than normal, rather than a few less miles than normal. You know?
Right.
Because I was
feeling it. So you had a good strong week.
Yeah, and yeah. Coming to the point where did the fast five, felt really good. Did a really quite fast 8 off the back of that, just feeling good and strong.
Nice.
It just got to that moment where I thought, God, I'm done with running. My legs hurt. I don't want to run anymore.
Right.
And that was this morning, just before I left my house.
Yeah, it's in terms of the booze, and I ended up drinking on Sunday as well. I got caught in a kind of...
You were getting your Fondle haircut.
Yeah, just I got caught in a kind of BBC 4 marathon documentary session.
Yeah.
Which was great, but it just ended up sinking another bottle and a half of really nice red wine, which left me feeling a bit stupid yesterday.
Well, if you were watching Sideways on Friday, that must still have been an influence there.
Yeah, but God, isn't it funny how it's just a series of clocking in, saying how much you've been drinking at the moment. For me, anyway.
I think, for me. I feel in the lockdown, it's all important to, or whatever we're in now, it's all important to... just to not be doing it all the time. That's
yeah, right. Yeah.
Not every day is the best rule.
Yeah. But it's almost... Shall we let this geezer go?
Sorry, yeah.
It's almost disappointing that... Sorry, bro. It's almost disappointing that there's nothing much to sober up for, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean? That's almost as hard work.
Well, and then you get into the real meat of it, which is the necessity of reminding oneself that the next day can be a bit psychologically harder.
Yeah.
That if you just want a slightly more well-balanced and efficient morning,
it
is worth taking a night off.
Did your kids go down for the demos for the Black Lives Matter this week?
No, did yours?
Yeah, they did actually, yeah.
Yeah, I'd have thought they would. I think if my kids were a bit older, they would have done it.
Yeah, there were... Bonnie went to one in London, George went to Manchester, and then Rudy went on the last day, actually.
Yeah.
I was particularly pleased that Rudy went, just to engage a little bit in that sort of grown-up-y stuff. Cause
yeah, yeah.
He's really into, black culture, you know.
It's amazing.
But for him to go on that was good.
Shows that connects to kind of real life and not just records.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
It was very amazing how, and I think that to a certain extent the establishment still doesn't quite get this, it's amazing how pure a young people's thing it was.
Yes.
You know, this is a movement without leaders.
Yeah.
Which came from a hashtag.
Yeah.
BLMLDN. And I was down the shops on Saturday morning and I just saw it like a migration, you know?
Yes.
Just kids in masks with placards, and I'm like, I think something's happening today.
Yeah, it was lovely. So, it's easy to forget. For me, anyway, I know you do a bit more marching.
Yeah.
You're still an occasional marcher.
Yeah.
But I used to march a lot when I was a kid.
Bike coming out of this one, watch out. Yeah.
And it's just good. It's good fun as a kid to get on a march and
absolutely.
Feel that way.
Well, that was the first one I ever did was...
Excuse me. Sorry. Yeah. Great.
Thank you. Finsbury Park to Hyde Park.
Yeah.
For Nelson Mandela in about 85.
Right.
And they freed him, so you're welcome.
Yeah. No, it was good for them. They really enjoyed it. And she said she got out. She could sense it was going to turn a bit.
Yeah.
And she just got out.
Yeah.
Things like that always turn.
Of course.
You know, it's just
high octane, isn't it?
Yeah, it's high octane.
Hey, Robin.
Oh, look at that. Gorgeous.
Nice. Gorgeous. I think it literally had stuff in its mouth for a nest. Did you see? Either that or it's halfway through eating a delicious fly.
Love a robin. No, it's high octane, it's late, it's exciting. Yeah, it's sort of... In any big mass of people, there's always going to be a minority, you want to use it to have a laugh with. Do you know what I mean? In that way, you know.
It's that kind of sliding scale, isn't it? From everything from the numbers of people to, you know, all the way from getting from two people drinking more than they planned to 1,000 people getting more smashy uppy than they planned to.
People just fire
each other onwards and upwards to further and deeper. It's the one thing I always want to say to the kids, because I remember it from when I was their age, rather than as a parenting thing, I suppose, although that's the same thing.
Yeah.
Is when you say, just remember, just because everyone thinks it's a good idea and your friends want to do it, if you think it's not a good idea,
it might
still not be a good idea.
I know you feel like a real stick in the mud, but I'm always reminded of the Tottenham riots.
Yeah.
And that was an event that was sort of got out of hand. All right, mate. Hey. All right.
Old school.
I don't even know what he was saying. What was he saying?
I think he recognised you. I think he said, "Paul, come on." But he might have just said, "Oh, come on, guys." It was a guy driving a
come on
dustbin
guy.
Lorry and doing the whole kind of semi-sarcastic, encouraging runner heckle.
It might have been a, "Come on, guys, this is pathetic."
It was really good. Talking of things from the old days.
Come on, guys.
Never mind marching.
Yeah.
A bit of, "Go on, mate, you can do it."
Yeah, but the Tottenham riots was like, obviously it all kicked off, and then you're in an environment where everyone's looting, so it kids you into thinking...
Wait, are we in Luton or Tottenham?
Yeah.
Is this the time for wordplay, Rob?
No, of course it's always the time for wordplay. But everyone thinks, brilliant, we can just do... That's what we're doing, so we can just do that.
Yeah, that's the new bar.
Yeah, so I remember, like, teenage girls on telly the next morning saying, "Oh yeah, we nicked this," and they're showing the TV cameras what they've nicked.
Yeah.
And they don't realise that you're confessing to criminality here.
Yeah, that's right, because it felt in that moment like life had changed forever.
Yes,
and
yeah,
that was
yeah.
the new real.
That's Everything right. was real. It was, and this, I saw this poor lad, well, he's quite a famous lad, showing himself with this big bag of basmati rice in it.
I remember that.
He got 4 months. He got 4 months inside.
Sorry
for that.
To laugh.
Because it was a, he became a real state suppressing the mob thing. Do you know what I mean? They gave out corrective sentencing. And it was awful. It was awful what they gave out to kids.
Yeah, well, and that's the kind of, that's the fine line, isn't it? Immediately made me think of that story of, oh, I can't remember the guy's name, a black teenager in Alabama who, just in the last week, or recently anyway, certainly in this climate at this time, in George Floyd time, got sentenced to dozens of years in prison. Dozens. So 65, I think, something like that.
Right.
And he didn't do anything.
Right.
He was with a guy who they both got kind of pulled up by police for being black and teenage by the sound of what I've read.
Yeah.
And then the other guy got shot by the police.
Right.
And so this guy was shot and killed, died.
Yeah, yeah.
No police officers were charged with anything. And this other teenager who said, "I never did anything, I was just scared.
Yeah.
He's going to prison forever.
Yeah.
And that is just basically being punished for being a black youth.
Well, you've got
with kids. Whilst people at the same time are being completely let off for murdering a black kid.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if anyone anywhere who says there isn't a double standard is really not paying attention.
Yeah, but I mean, American justice system, you've got kids, well, not kids, you've got people doing life for drug dealing.
Yeah.
For dealing drugs that are now legal in states of America.
Yeah.
It's just like, you can buy weed legally in California, but there's people inside serving life for dealing it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like,
going back to the basmati rice, it is, you know, you can't really separate the two. If you start in trying to kind of punish culture, then in the end, you are going to be punishing people for who they are.
Yeah.
And that is that, and that way fashion lies.
But it just, I try and say that to my kids, it's like, just be aware of the mob thing.
Yeah.
Because really wants to go to America to work to, and they won't let you in if you get done for that.
Yeah. That's right. No, and that will last.
And also, if you're in right to the end, what hasn't really been reported is kettling. So they kettle people for half three, four in the morning.
Yeah.
They did that every night of the protest. But for the hardcore who are left, And then they take your names and addresses, and it all gets very serious and very protracted later on.
Yeah. And like I was saying the other day, once the, and this isn't, you can't understate this, once the police get really involved in Britain, it gets so boring.
Oh, yeah. No,
so you said this. No, I said this. So you stand over there. No, so that, you said no, this. That's no, what, I said this.
That's what it is. It's, because let's be honest, there's a case to be saying that sometimes the police don't deal with stuff effectively enough. I personally don't want to see police running away from kids. I think something's gone really wrong there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they'll get their revenge at 3 a.m. by really
with bureaucracy and
wasting
that voice.
Your time. Yeah, you're just death through boredom. You know.
Yeah, and it's such a habit.
Yeah.
I remember when I got.
They live for that.
This is like a. Oh, here's a story about me. But it's a really different kind of era. I remember I got a. Somewhere I was working. I had a laptop plugged in and a digital camera plugged into that.
Yeah.
And someone was down in Exmouth Market and someone from the street, and everyone knew who it was. He'd been seen.
Right.
Someone slipped in and nicked it.
Right.
Anyway, a couple of police thought, literally might be able to track this guy down, get it back, you know.
Yeah.
Within the next half hour.
Yeah.
And this policeman came in and just feel from the habits of her attitude that chance was going, gone.
Yeah. Going by the second.
It would seem that what has taken place is that you have carelessly left. Oh, shut up! I wish I never found you!
Go get my laptop!
Open the window. Yeah. Keep it!
He's there! He's over there!
It's just such a habit, isn't it? And like you say, it's effective in its depressing way.
Well, it just brings everyone down, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's awful.
It's funny, it's been difficult without digging too deeply into it. I think we're very resilient. Hey, squirrel. Very resilient humans. And everyone has reset, particularly over time. You know, we've talked about not getting too comfortable with the phrase, the new normal, but everyone's comfortable with their reality to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But it makes you forget how fragile it is, how much closer to the red we are.
Yeah.
And how a combination of things like the death of George Floyd and the lies of Dominic Cummings and the bad weather
can
make you think, wait a minute.
And just the pure boredom of it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then you...
Because that's anger as well.
It's anger. And the internet is always a problem anyway with circular and binary arguments.
Yeah.
If you add to that the fact that everyone's in the house looking at it.
Ooh,
that's a good bird.
Hey. Hey, mate.
Oh, it's nice here though, isn't it?
Very grateful for this.
It's funny that we, I mean, it's a bit of an old...
Thank you.
Sorry, Doug. It's a bit of a...
That was the Huffers and the Puffers.
Was it actually her?
Yeah, that was her, the one behind her.
The Huffers and the Puffers.
She with a stick ready, brandished.
Yeah, did you? She prodded you slightly. You look pale. She's poisoning.
Man down. That's what I call them, the Huffers and the Puffers.
But it is... It bears saying again how wonderful it is to run.
Yeah.
It's so good for one. It's good for your body, it's good for your soul.
Yeah.
Sometimes you take it for granted. And other days, yesterday, you know?
Yeah.
It was an odd one. I think that deep down, I was bang up for a run.
Right.
And I certainly had a brilliant one.
Yeah.
But I was kind of grumpy. It was kind of, go on then.
Right.
And ended up running far and fast and feeling strong. But it was really, I wasn't happy in myself before I went out.
Right.
And by the time I came home, I just felt, it's like a scrub.
Yeah,
you know,
it's amazing.
I'd had a kind of body and mind cleanse.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. And how's your body feeling? Have you got any niggles? Are you okay?
No, I'm a little bit... I'm just basically a little bit paranoid because I think I'm pushing it a tiny bit, but really, only a tiny bit.
Yeah. So how many miles did you do last week? About 35?
I just upped it by about 5. The key thing, the other one, is one of those kind of things which, when you say it out loud, you think, well, everyone knows this and we've said it before, but I found it out all over again, is if you want to go fast over a short distance, getting your mileage up will not work against you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I ran the most miles I've done Monday to Friday.
Yeah.
For weeks last week.
Yeah.
Specifically went out for a full length run on Friday when I was already
doing well.
Half a marathon on the Tuesday and so on. And let's pull in the whole discussion we always have. Also, drinking on Friday night.
Yeah.
I wasn't ruined, but I was slightly hungover.
Yeah.
And I went out and did my fastest 5K. One of the fastest 5Ks I've done this year.
Wow.
Park runs and lockdowns together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's great.
And I knew it. You know, I found it. I was like, oh, yeah. What I've done here is I feel warmed up from the week.
Yeah.
I'm feeling my form.
Yeah.
Wanting my bike. All I've got to do is hold on to it. And I can feel that even the fact that my brain is a little numbed by last night's indulgences is going to help with that.
Isn't it weird? I'm going to come out with a maxim now that might not make much sense.
Well, you can start going out a maxim.
The fitter you get, the fitter you get.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You thought you'd run so far, you'd be knackered, but there's something about your body that's... When I was really training hard for the sub three, some of the weeks I was doing was really hard. And then on Saturday, I'd run a really fast race.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
You kind of teach your... I think you teach your physiology to expect it, don't you?
Yes, I mean, my run
yesterday, I think I was running fast. You know, I thought that was the story, this fast 5K.
Yeah.
And then I just went out for a trot yesterday. And my body's still like, so we're sprinting, are we?
Right.
You know, because it's...
Yeah.
I asked it of it. I think the body, fundamentally, it's very easy to switch on switches in your body.
It's
much harder to switch them off.
Right.
For good or bad, you know? Like, for example, say you get an injury.
Yeah.
And you start carrying yourself just slightly weirdly to
oh, what a noble dog.
Lovely.
Yeah.
To keep your injury from troubling you while you're running.
Right.
Your body will learn a running position.
Yes.
And Melissa was telling me this.
Yeah.
And then the injury heals and you don't change back.
Right.
You know, you say you sort of take it easy on your own left hip.
Well, that's a... If I may say so, Rob, I wonder whether you may have stumbled on a metaphor for what we're currently facing as a society. We've adapted to an extreme situation, and where we no longer need to, the residual behaviours will be harder to drop.
Oh, absolutely. Did you see that little girl in the picture? She was fantastic. See, it's a shame that we're in a sound-based medium.
Right.
She was a toddler. She'd have been about 1.5, maybe 2 at the most. Sitting in a pushchair, sitting forward, red cheeks, as though she was teething.
Yeah.
And she sat forward, and she looked at me and you, and her eyes kind of flicked between us. And it was just like, it was just so brilliant to see a human at any age to give a look that so clearly said, "What the heck?"
Yeah. Is that running commentary?
They're running? The microphones?
We've got to get an ACAST. Dad! Thank you, Marshall.
Oh, good. That's what she's... In 2 months, she'll be leaning forward saying, "Oh, Paul, hello, can you get me?"
So,
extended duty, Trafalgar Square area.
Yeah, they seem to be...
Wrong side of history, over.
Wrong side of history, over. Run, come, pod, ridiculing a toddler, over. Doesn't seem to be a problem, but may get complaints at a later date, over. In a very febrile social media environment.
So she distracted me. What you were saying was true.
Yeah.
And I think
we
maybe
adapted to...
There's a deeper, aside from, the direct effect that will have on us kind of in comedy and the wider effect it will have on us in society, pubs, restaurants, going out, interacting with each other. I think that in the long, long game, maybe, hopefully, it'll all shake down, you know?
Oh, yeah, it will do, undoubtedly.
You want the things that need to spring back, and the things that need to change to stay changed. Unfortunately, the opinion on what those two things are is probably... entirely, there are as many opinions on that as there are people.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, I was chatting to people about work environments and Zoom and stuff.
Yeah.
People saying, obviously, for a lot of people,
Zoom's obviously harder for you mentally.
Yeah.
And you can't read non-verbal cues, etc. It's more stressful.
Yeah.
But having said that...
It's particularly hard to read non-verbal cues when everyone's 2 metres apart.
Yeah.
I've got my cues mixed up.
Yeah, yeah. But not, but having said that, for a lot of people, not going into the office makes their days inherently less stressful.
Yes, that's right.
They're not getting bullied at work. They're
not
dealing
with
weird
blokes. And this is one of the changes that is just embraced, not at a kind of, you know, sort of a notional philosophical level, but a real on-the-ground... save the economy level. Where companies are saying everyone's working from home, fine. That office is a waste of money. Everyone works from home forever now.
Yeah.
You know, not everyone's doing this, but people are doing this.
I think it'll... But then again, I do think in creative industries, there is something about being in an office that you don't get. But they'll balance it. I think they'll just mix and match.
Yeah.
But there will be changes in that, certainly. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I think when it comes down to it as well, I mean... Again, like everything, you think you're being all objective, but really you're just finding out things about yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I've always... I love being a comedian, and it's my thing, and I've included lots of elements of who I am outside comedy into it, like whether it's music or doing jokes about running or whatever. But on the other hand, things like doing this with you, it's really important to me. It's more to my life. Then, and you, I suppose this must be the same for you with writing. Yeah. You know, and in a way, I don't want to do comedy on Zoom. I can do things on Zoom.
Yeah, totally.
But trying to get laughs out of people.
No, I don't want to do that.
Can't do it.
I don't
and
want to.
Sometimes might have to for financial reasons, but in terms of going forward, as they say, that's out, that's off.
Of course, yeah.
So my own lens on myself, what am I going to do? It's other stuff than stand-up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's I suppose that's what I would have wanted anyway.
I'm reminded
of that. And if stand-up is your be-all and end-all, you might go another way. You know, I think there's plenty of stand-ups of our acquaintance who are much less, who are much more kind of, what's the mono, they've got a stand-up monomania.
Yes,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
And all they're doing is waiting until they can get in front of an audience again.
I'm reminded of that scene in Spinal Tap. Of course, sir. What size shoe would you like? I can do that, sir. Yes, we're in brown, sir.
David St. Hubbins, the patron saint of quality footwear.
Yeah, I used to do stand-up, but I think that fits perfectly well, sir. Would you like to walk round the store, sir?
Absolutely terrifying.
I don't think it'll come down to that. I think we'll be gigging.
One of our... contemporaries who shall remain nameless was saying a couple of years ago, I think I'll give up stand-up and go into advertising.
Yeah.
It's like, you know that the people in advertising train for it and have got strong CVs and, you know, are under 50.
They're not just depressed.
They didn't just turn
not
up.
Just depressed idiots who fancy a change.
Yeah, I'll do a bit of copywriting. Yeah, why not? I could tap into the zeitgeist effortlessly, you know, corporate environment.
Well, I mean, this has been a very sobering and interesting realisation.
Yeah.
To realise how utterly secondary we are to requirements, hasn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
for
absolutely.
The whole thing of stand-ups. And that's... We always knew we weren't... You know, we weren't... Essential.
Yeah.
I always viewed us as like one of the most important of the unimportant things.
Yeah.
But it turns out we might not even be that.
No, exactly. And even within our contemporary industry, you know, I think we're not damning ourselves. I think we're respected and likely to be employed where there is employment. But equally, you know, the whole world favours the young.
Yes, yeah,
the
yeah.
The post... credit crunch comedy world, the lines between amateur and professional are far more blurred than they used to be.
Yeah.
Both of which things marginalise us dramatically.
Yeah.
Even before they closed all the comedy clubs.
Yes, yeah.
Happy thought indeed.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Of course, when we come back and do our, you know, and everything's fine, and we do our tour, it will be us that actually reinvent live comedy in the UK.
Yeah. Our tour, running around the UK, Forrest Gump style.
Yeah.
Here they come, running into town.
Running comedy, piggyback UK 2022.
I noticed, in terms of things coming back to life the other day, that the public toilets in Clissold Park have reopened. A heartening moment.
Oh, God, for you, that's... That must have made up for odd bins to a certain extent.
Yeah, to a certain extent. Yeah,
I
do think that's quite symbolic for a lot of people, though.
Yeah.
You're getting people out to the parks. They're coming out.
Yeah, but also, yes, for better and worse, I think that's absolutely true. I think if it's a shame it's not slightly more joyful, because Clissold Park has frankly been as busy as can be.
Yeah.
All summer long.
Yeah.
So opening the toilets again, it's just like, oh God, they're here anyway and they're killing the plants. Might as well.
Yeah. But
I saw a sign in Broadway. What's it called? London Fields.
Right.
It said, the park is not a toilet. If you need to go, go home.
Yeah, but that's not practical, is it?
No, it's not.
And what sooner or later... And they started to talk about it today a little bit. We are going to address... You've got to address the fact that lockdown's been easing for 3 or 4 weeks whilst numbers have been falling. And you have to cater for that.
Yes. Yeah, just... I mean, I think that they should be more... It should be based on... guidance rather than... might as well. It just, you know, it doesn't... It could be the perfect thing. It still doesn't inspire confidence.
Yeah.
But no one knows, do they? Could be great.
Yeah, I'm slightly surprised by the lack of enthusiasm around good news around this. Obviously, there's not much good news.
Yeah.
But I'm still slightly... infections halved in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Which is good news. And that was on, like, page 7 of the Times on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know...
But people don't like good news, do they? They don't... It doesn't fire people up.
But you'd have thought they'd like good news about this.
To the fact that we're in a kind of 2-week lag news cycle, it doesn't...
Yeah.
It doesn't have the power and topicality of... But they found the person who killed Madeleine McCann.
No, but I think it's almost like, if you do focus on it, people think you're being insensitive or something, or...
There's something
else going on as well. The McCann thing's interesting because it's put Julie's nose out of joint a little bit.
Right.
They might have found the fella.
Yeah.
She might have been wrong for all these years. Belief structures collapsing around conspiracy theories. But it felt like odd timing, didn't it? When it came out.
It felt like that information was there all the time.
Yeah, of course.
It's ripe for a bit of fake news conspiracy theory chat.
Yeah, totes. Totes. I could almost go another lap of this, but I don't want to upset you.
No, let's go back because I've got to run home.
Oh, that, of course, yeah.
But I know what you mean. No, no, no. Let's do it.
Are you sure?
The woods are beautiful.
Are you sure?
Let's make the best of it while we're here.
Okay.
I think we should do it.
Why not?
Plus,
on another lap.
My wife is filming in our house.
Right.
She really likes it when I'm out when she does that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had a...
Even if I'm 3 rooms away, she doesn't like the idea that I'm listening going, hey, yeah, listen to her
that was
talking.
Good. That was a good bit, that
what
bit.
A you did it really well.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. I'd do that again, that bit. Are you sure you want to phrase it like that? Leave me alone!
Oh, that reminds me. You know, I told you I was going to do that seminar last week.
Right.
It was really good. I really enjoyed it. And again...
Good for you.
Yeah, and it was good for me. You know, the actual process of... Just the writing of it and coming along, it was basically director me getting a go on it, you know?
Yeah.
Getting a go round the block on the old theory of performance, etc.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And I really enjoyed it, and it was all interactive, and I put together quite a clever little thing. You know, I wrote it up, maybe I'll film it, I'll get to do it again another day. And then my friend who put me to do it, that dog was going so fast.
That was such a... That dog looked like it had been fired from a cannon.
It's a black spaniel going past us. It's only a tiny dog, and yet as it came past, it went... you can still see the cloud
faster
of dust.
Faster than the speed of light.
Cartoon dog.
So go on then, the woman from the...
Oh, it's great. So fabulous. I really enjoyed it. Got some great feedback.
Yeah.
Were you nervous? You seem nervous.
That's what she said?
Yes. Oh, you've ruined it. Yeah, that's entirely killed my bus.
Oh, God. Nice.
And, you know, the worst of it is I probably did because it was on Zoom and I don't like it.
Yeah, because it's entirely new. I had a thing the other week where that's like... I like those phrases, though, those things like when you're tweeting, when people say... For instance, with respect. It's always a prelude to a massive insult, isn't it? Do you know? With respect, the idea that you... Blah, blah, blah,
blah. In the same way that when people genuinely believe and want to not have an agenda, they say, serious question, just asking.
Yeah.
And then
question.
Every opinion they've ever had thunders into the question, comes in afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. Genuinely interested.
Genuinely interested, that's it. That's
which
the
is code for, I really don't give a flying for what you're about to say.
No. Yeah. Genuinely interested to hear my own opinion on this again.
Yeah.
But you can't help it, can you? But there's things... It's like, cheer up, might never happen. There's things, there's no good time to say that.
Yeah. There's no good time to say you look nervous. I did a Zoom thing for Channel 5. It seems that the only time I get on telly nowadays is to say how good Michael McIntyre is.
Well, good.
We shall accept that,
I'm glad that
is my place.
Providing you with gigs.
Yeah, that is my place within the
culture.
Have
you spoken to him? How's he doing?
I've spoken to him, quite a bit, yeah. He's back in town and sorting out his various TV projects for the autumn.
Getting kettled.
Happily getting kettled down in Trafalgar Square of an evening.
Yeah.
But it took me ages to set up the Zoom TV recording thing.
Yeah.
And it was so jarring. I was so close to thinking, this just isn't going to happen. Why don't we just call it a day? It's obviously, but it happened and it was fine, you know.
Yeah.
But that was the... Two people, they lived in Crouch End, the two techs who were dealing with it.
Right.
Just pop over, mate.
Just come and have a cup of tea.
Just pop over.
God, your bloke, when we were more locked down, your bloke had came around and fixed something.
Yes.
The assets guy, that seems like weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is weeks ago. It seems like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, it does. It absolutely does, yeah. But those are the people who sort of helped me relax about it, really. But it was
thank
more
you,
kind
key
of like
workers.
There's just no option. Yeah. No. He's in the house sweating furiously, showing you pictures of him as an 18-year-old.
Yeah. It's the diametrically opposed to the guy who fixed our washing machine, who came in, he was as close as possible to being a ghost that fixed the washing machine. He kind of came in, floated in without ever getting near us or any of the walls or the floor.
Yeah.
Barely said a word. Just went near the closest thing was, do you remember when Vic Reeves did an impression of Lloyd Grossman?
All right.
That was fantastic. It was on Shooting Stars. He had a huge long head and massive long fingers that ended up in knives and forks.
Right.
And then when he walked across the studio, he was actually hanging from the ceiling and his feet just kind of drifted, his toes were drifting just above the floor. And he just said things like, I've ruminated and cogitated. Anyway, so yeah, that guy whispered into the house and worked his magic, took a washing machine that was literally on fire and made it work like new.
We had a sky guy who fixed our sky through the window. Just stood at the window directing us.
He said, look, it's up there beyond the trees. Oh, thanks, you're under great gun.
So we've got to be careful. This is very rooty around here. It's very trip-tastic.
He said it to me, I never fall. I've never tripped.
Look at this.
Whoa.
Real hazard.
Whoa. It's a difficult route.
Yeah. They'll get you.
Going back to my roots. Point to the roots for me. There they are. Oh, and these won't stop. Sorry for the stopping. Look at that. I love that when the trees... It's something to do with the canopy trees.
Right.
The lower leaves extend out in these kind of flat panels to maximise their ability to catch light coming through the ones from above.
So you
get all these horizontal lines.
Nice.
He says, coming really close to tripping and diving whilst miming trees.
So they started to, I think I mentioned last week, they've opened up the club track.
Yeah.
And they're starting to do sessions for 5 or 6 people. But they'll obviously prioritise the fast ones.
Yeah.
It's going to be quite a while before it filters down.
Is it, when does that get to you? Do you know? Is it
I don't know. It's ongoing. I was chatting yesterday with... I met a club mate just by chance coming down from a run. He's just saying about park runs. You can't really put a limit on park runs, can you? A number limit, that's the thing.
No, the whole point is it's democracy. So
yeah, because with road races you could do, you know, you could have like 100 people and there's staggered starts, etc.
Yeah, exactly.
There's ways around it. But the park run thing's just that mass thing.
Yeah, and the huge inverted commas, serious runners, could really mess with the community nature of the thing, because it's totally equal, isn't it? And, unfortunately, again, another example of even before the lockdown, parkrun is a victim of its own popularity.
Because there's so many people.
Sometimes, you know, that one in Birmingham was like 1,000 people there.
Wow.
It's an amazing experience.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a difficult event.
Yes.
Because, you know, the setup is stretched to the very limit.
Yeah.
So I think the way to do it is to lean into it. And instead of Glastonbury, just have one 50,000 person parkrun.
Just go for it.
In the middle of Britain.
Just go for it. But I must say,
anyone got a birthday today?
Yeah. I must say, I do miss it, even though I didn't do anywhere near as many as you. Just the idea that it was there to give you give your week a bit of a thrill at the end.
Even
on
Saturday, when I really went for it and enjoyed it, I was literally, you know, at the tough moments, I just projected parkrun.
Yeah.
You know, but just picturing myself as. It was time to dig in and hold on.
Yeah.
Coming into like the third mile.
Yeah.
I thought, I'm going through the woods by the river on the far side of Hackney Marshes.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to come out of the woods, but it's actually a bit further.
Look, there's Paul with his calf injury.
Yeah, Paul stopped.
Limping on the grass.
Said he was going to go fast and can't run at all. The other thing I found again on talking to parkrun is I really used my... Tom Cruise finish.
All right, nice.
Which,
nice.
As to our listeners will totally recognise. Really works. I just, you know, try and run like Tom Cruise does, but it's quite physically specific.
Yeah.
Try and get my weight out in front of myself.
Kind of a bounding.
Get very neat.
Yeah.
Get my hands right up to here in front of my face. And but the key thing, ignore the Tom Cruise thing, because that'll probably render my... runners' thoughts ridiculous to people, but it really is true. The whole point of it, finding that different run, and it's the only time I've ever kind of tried to change my natural instinct in terms of style, and that is to find a run you otherwise wouldn't have, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's
I quite often try and finish fast on my little 5K.
Yeah, yeah.
But on Saturday, I suddenly realised how it works. It's basically, I'm already running as fast as I can.
Right.
So what can I possibly do to turn this into a finish?
Yeah.
I've got to change it up for a second.
Yeah, absolutely. Like yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a stupid, it's like a special move in a computer
game. It's a change state thing, yeah.
Yeah. And it lasts such a short amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, I try and, well, I did when I was fit enough to do it. I try to imagine the floor was really hot.
Yeah.
So you're getting that running through hot coals kind of
that's
thing,
right.
You know, or just any little mental trick.
Yeah, the keywords you said are change state. You're looking to kind of change the rules temporarily.
Yes.
To enable yourself to kind of eke it out.
Yeah.
You know, and it connects to the central governor thing.
Yeah.
You're trying to get around your own body's limitations.
Yes. It's funny because I did that long run the other week with old Baz.
Yeah.
And we did like 11, 12 miles together. And we sped up a bit in the last mile and a half, which was good. And I like doing that at the end of long runs. That kind of solid.
Yep.
And then the last 100 yards or so, we had a sprint.
Yeah.
And I never do that now. And I always used to do it when I was a club runner. You just used to naturally sprint at the end.
Yeah,
it felt really traditional.
Yeah.
As Barry sailed off in the distance and I could stay with him.
How useful was it, your body remembering it?
Well, no, he completely burnt me off.
Yeah.
I was just so unused to it. But it was just, there was something just good fun about it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. I just keep remembering when we did the Bath Half that first time.
Yeah.
Just not having that in my head to do, but not having any sense of how to do it at all.
Yeah.
And going, oh, there's the finish or the turn off to the finish. I mean, I think it's about half a mile, three quarters of a mile away. Going, that's it, I'll speed up now and sprint to the finish. And going about four paces.
Yeah.
And going, oh, shut up.
Yeah.
This is stupid.
Yeah.
You've got to feel it, you've got to time it right. It's got to be
right. No, of course, yeah, totally.
I was kind of trying to do someone else's thing, you know?
Yeah. It's quite a long finishing stretch, isn't it, the Bath Half?
Yeah, yeah.
Good event, though. Shame we didn't do it this year. That crept in just under the wire, didn't it?
That's right, but on the other hand, and because it was cancelled last year because of the weather.
Yes, yeah, yeah,
what was that last year? That was last year. Beast from the East. And I was still there because I went and did the gig the night before.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I saw the Bath badasses going out and doing it anyway.
Right.
I mean, gosh, talk about running 13 miles the other day, but a fast half, that would be tough, wouldn't
it? That feels like a long way away now, doesn't it?
This time last year, I did the Manchester half.
Right.
And that was a really good one.
Yeah.
Because I had two halves that I ran, a kind of race.
You did that one on the.
Did the Grand Prix one.
You did the Grand Prix one, didn't you?
Yeah. Alton Park in Cheshire.
Yeah.
Where all the different distances on a Grand Prix racing track. It was brilliant. Pouring rain.
That sounds quite a relentless, unforgiving. But was that a three lapper?
Five laps.
Five lapper.
So yeah, it's quite good in a way because it mixed it up, you know, like you know how in a park run you don't want too many laps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was always
yeah.
more to find out.
Yeah.
Every lap was part of the story.
I suppose five laps isn't too much when they're that big, when they're that long, the laps, you know.
That's right. And it kind of does break it down as well. When you, again, I'd have been more uncomfortable about it years ago, but as a park runner, I quite like stretching the lap format over longer distances.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Same as that Victoria Park. 10K is essentially a three lapper,
which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, so you kind of think of it as a nightmare park run.
Yeah.
It's weird, this park run seems twice as long.
Yeah,
and that's useful, you know.
Yeah,
the five times round the Grand Prix track, which is an interesting curvy bank lane circuit and just an unusual place to be.
Yeah,
and five isn't too many, is it? Over
no, it's not.
More than 10 miles.
Yeah.
Then each one is like an acting play.
It's quite nice in a way. It kind of maybe helps you keep mentally in control of pace and stuff.
It really did. And you said to me, try and speed up a bit towards the end, you know, just go for an organic negative split. I mean, really healthily just sort of saying it in a sort of chatty text rather than an article in Runner's World
yeah.
made all the difference. It's like, oh yeah, I suppose it could do
the manifesto.
Yeah. And I did that, and with the five laps, I just got into the penultimate lap and just started going faster.
Yeah.
And again, it was a
good feeling.
It's that balance between imagination and lack of imagination, you know? It was an exciting place to be, and I had to make the decision to do that.
Yeah.
But once I did that, my body said, yeah, okay. And I could moan about it all I wanted. That was what was happening, you know?
Yeah. God, it really makes you miss races, doesn't it?
Yeah. And then that was... I didn't get the timing chip on that one, but I think it was about not much under an hour and three quarters.
Right.
And then that was last sort of... I think in the run up to London, so maybe early April last year. Could be wrong. And then around this time, I went and did this one in Manchester. And it was really good, very roady. We went out down to the Etihad.
Yeah.
And did a little hairpin. It's always nice to come back and see the people going the other way.
Yeah, yeah, it's really nice. Really cheers you up, doesn't it?
Yeah, and to see them going towards you, it just gives you a real sense of your place
yeah.
in the world, yeah. race-wise. Also, it gave it that excellent shape, same as the Yorkshire Marathon, where there's a big bit in the middle which is singled out that you can kind of apply your efforts to
yeah.
and separate out the first act for the warm-up and the last act for the delivery. Just take the middle of the race, like the filling in the sandwich, and really kind of dig into it, you know? Specifically in Manchester, between the stadia. So you right. ran down to the Etihad, and then the heart of the run was back up to Old Trafford, and then the end of the run was back down to town. And it was great. Some great fun with that sense of keying off other people, you know? A guy up ahead of me, I just had such a relationship with him. Just trying to match pace with him. And
yeah, yeah.
Beating me. And I was never going to catch him up. He was quite far ahead. So all I was doing was pacing off him, you know?
Yeah.
And he's no friend of mine.
Yeah.
But I had to go up to him afterwards and say, great run, mate. Thanks a lot, you know?
Yeah, you helped.
So you got me there. And of course, he's got no idea who I am. Yeah. I was behind him.
Stop following me. I mean, Manchester's still in the diary, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
This looks like a pleasant abode, doesn't it? This makeshift. That's like the best den I've seen in ages.
Yeah. I think a tree's just fallen over.
Yeah, that's what...
But someone's denned it right up, haven't they? Thank
yeah,
you.
Cheers. Brilliant. Good luck with it.
Go on in your den.
It does look like a...
I'm too close to it. It looks like a spider attack.
Just like a den, doesn't it? She's a good old-fashioned pain in the ass. Was that really necessary?
It was just... It was a telling off so non-specific that it became surreal.
It's just like...
All the way, you know, a whole day, a thousand people, including us, go past each other and avoid each other by 2 metres. And then one old couple get out of our way, we get out of their way, and she takes a moment to stop us to say,
okay.
In a way that meant happy now.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Is this what you've done? Oh, yeah.
Thanks. Cheers. Cheers. Couple of hill reps up the Ginsnitz.
Yeah, why not? Up the old Ginnel.
Okay.
Yeah. What did I say? Good luck with it. She's lucky. She's so lucky you were here and I was being filmed. I mean, not film recorded.
What's your problem? What's your problem?
I'd just say call the police. That's my mate. I'd just escalate. Call the police. Let's talk to them. I mean, she was about 10 feet away, wasn't she?
Yeah. But again.
Okay.
Her anger let the gap.
Yeah.
Like a streak of lightning.
Yeah.
Flashes and fades in the summer sky. All right. Online.
Yeah.
I want listeners, someone, to recognise that song and give me its relevance to running commentary. Like a streak of lightning that flashes and fades in the summer sky. Do you know it?
Nope.
It's pretty obscure. Look at this street.
Yeah. No, this is beautiful. Great.
I went, although, imagine what it'd be like here when they resurface it.
Yeah.
I think like a resurfaced road. Oh, of course. Because they're resurfacing roads left, right and centre around our way.
Are they really?
Yeah, because Hackney are all busy.
Right.
And another effect of that... Where is he? Was you... I've lost you. There he is. Was you getting a ticket last week?
Yes.
What a pain.
It was a pain.
I'm so sorry that that happened.
No. It happens. And to be fair, I accepted it with good grace. And I had a chat with the poor guys doing it. Because they're the guys... They were like, we don't want to be doing this. The ticket guys in Islington at Haringey are at home on full pay. I'd much prefer to be doing that.
Yeah.
But they're at the front line with people getting annoyed at them.
Yeah.
Which is sort of understandable because no one knows whether it's on or off now with the parking thing.
Yeah.
But they're just doing their job. I accepted when I parked on a single yellow, I might
just
get done
following orders.
No, but I accepted I might get done for it.
Yeah.
They're walking around in the heat. Sorry, here we go. They're walking around in the heat, sweating their socks off.
Yeah, and then
getting abused by the public. All right, buff. And, I felt a bit sorry for them.
Yeah, absolutely. It was nice that they came along so that you could kind of share a positive moment.
And they actually said, oh, leave it for a while longer if you want, and we won't ticket you again. But were they telling the truth, Rob? What do you reckon?
Yeah.
If they'd left it, done another lap, come back, it's been clamped. Sorry, mate, we've got to do it.
He said, I can't run anymore because Rob Deering's gone.
Yeah, we don't want to be doing this, but we're just taking your car away to the pound.
Well,
that's a nice
pound,
smell.
Yeah. It's like running in the jungle today.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous.
No flowers, just leaves. It's like the beginning of a... Raise a little sock.
So by the time you get home, you'll have done what, 12?
Oh, well, how long
will
it be?
Because this is about 6. Yeah. When you do 2 laps, it's about 6.
Yeah,
maybe 6
more 10, 11, but yeah.
Yeah.
Normally up to you is just 2 and a bit, but with the closed bridge,
right,
it's best part of 3. But it's all downhill, going back.
That'll be symbolic, won't it, when they reopen the bridge?
Yeah.
Do you think they'll have a ceremony?
Where's that confounded bridge?
The reopening of the Finsbury Bridge.
It's a bit like the car parking thing, because you can imagine people going, oh, what's the point of that? But it's just a narrow bridge.
Yeah.
You can't go across it without slightly messing up social distancing. Anyone going across it, I'm sure, would say, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
And press themselves against the walls. But the principle abides. Hey, sisters. Hey, all right, bin men. Hey. He didn't care.
It's reached a stage where we're shouting at the bin men. All right, mate, get off the milk.
Because they're so crazy.
Rubbish.
Look at you. You're so crazy. Shut up. Wait a minute. You're shouting. Here's what I should have said.
Go on, then.
One load of rubbish.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, there you
go. I think it's... important to note that
no one likes us when we're running.
I was going to say, but is that Sinead O'Connor's skeleton?
Susanna Denada.
Johnny Cash. Elvis Costello.
Right.
Sinead O'Connor.
All right, yeah.
Catelyn Moran.
Catelyn Moran. Is that Catelyn Moran?
I don't know. It looks like her. Sorry.
Susanna Denada.
It can't be Catelyn Moran. Amy Winehouse, maybe? The Latin Cafe.
Yeah, but if it's Amy Winehouse, where's her beehive?
Yeah.
I just want...
No, nice,
oh, sorry. Oh, I got behind these people again. Okay, we'll keep running. I wanted to do a Sinead O'Connor. She's behind me, isn't she? But
right.
Next time.
Great running down the hill technique there. He's off. He's off. He's run off.
Bit of gravity.
Can't catch him. Why not? And then this bit takes you down to the... I actually like this stretch now.
Yeah. I do. I have been...
Slightly downhill. You've mentioned before. You think... Is it slightly downhill?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But only slightly. Thank you. You know, it's... the whole Parkland walk is engineered, isn't it? So it's either flat or very slightly... graded towards Highgate. Yeah. And that's the whole point of it. I mean, it goes across hills, but it was designed to facilitate trains.
Yeah.
So from a running point of view, it's immaculate.
It's perfect.
I mean, from my house, I mean, from your house, it's your blooming, it's your garden, it's the end of your garden.
Yeah.
But from my house, you run to here, to the top of it and back down again. It's exactly 7 miles.
Right.
And it's just engineered.
Yeah.
For a negative split.
I feel ridiculously lucky to live close to it. I must say, it's like living in Colorado or something. When the sun's shining and it's so beautiful.
When I just before I broke my toe.
Yeah.
We were feeling really fit. We went and did Hampstead Heath Park Run.
Yeah.
He's in distress.
Yeah.
And I came up here. And I clocked myself doing the doing a 6:10 mile.
Nice.
And you, was that, did you do the Golden Stag mile at that time? Were you trying for a 6-minute mile?
Yeah, I did 5:35.
Yeah, that's
on a good track.
Yeah.
So there's a significant difference, yeah.
Yeah, but it still counts, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think that I really wonder, I don't miss events in the same way as you because I've come to them so externally, you know, first and foremost. It's me out on my headphones and I've had to learn the ways of the athlete, do you know what I mean? But equally, I'd really like to test my pace and strength in 2020.
Yeah.
Because I've really enjoyed the training and it seems to be working. Everyone's so into it today.
Yeah, but was she?
She was heckling.
But was she telling us off?
No, she said less talking, more working. She wants us to do more fitness. I like it. She's definitely with the bin man rather than the old lady.
Yeah, but it was still a coded kind of what you're doing chatting kind of thing.
Well, everything turned back and after her.
Everything's so performative nowadays. What's this dog protesting about?
Yeah. Hiya.
But it's like,
I do think that this week, I think it's a counterpoint to the nightmare of the news cycle and the internet. People do seem quite gleefully interactive. And as you say, it's quite edgy.
Yeah.
But I think that old lady saying, what did she say?
Okay.
I think
that
is the exception that proves the rule.
Yeah.
In the park yesterday, I just felt like everyone was aware of being with each other, you know?
Yeah.
An really unusual amount of community spirit in London and a kind of grown into the wood, almost relaxed community spirit, which it's really unusual here.
I think there's been I think that's been one of the positives from the whole palaver.
Another Robin.
If we can call it a palaver.
I think you can call
it
a palaver.
Do you think it reached palaver status?
Yeah, I think we're at palaver 3 at the moment.
Currently degrading the Corona Crosses to a palaver.
Palaver, comedians. Palaver is really global pandemic, causes death of thousands.
Global pandemic palaver.
Could it really be described as a palaver? Pullover. You say palaver and it's over, it sounds like pullover.
But there's been loads of... the community thing has been amazing. It has been amazing. And that's one reason why I'm pleased to have stayed in London during this.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people who left. And we've come through this together. Obviously, we're coming out of it in a stuttery, kind of confused, vaguely edgy. You know, it's not over, of course.
Oh, yeah, it's a mess.
The palaver. But it's been still nice to come through it. I mean, I remember early doors in the palaver, being in my garden and being...
In the first days of palaver,
In the first days of palaver. Palaver panic, pandemic 10. Feeling scared.
Yeah.
It was like the air itself was fear. It was like you could chop it up and eat it.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
Yeah.
It was ringing with terror, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's a bit like when you... This is a strange comparison. It's a bit like when you first have a baby. At the time, you think, okay, this is real life. And you look back, suddenly a moment from that time reminds you of it. Just a few weeks later.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow.
Yeah.
We were in that place.
I mean, I remember early doors when it was coming in, and I was trying to get a handle on it. I was writing down, you know, What are we going to do? What's happening? So you write down what's happening. You know, a global pandemic that threatens the survival of you, your family, and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, goals.
Yeah.
And then one would be survival.
Yeah.
How to survive.
Yeah.
And then it'd go, it was the most bizarre kind
Whereas
of...
Whereas now, you can write down, get the bins out.
Yeah, it was the most bizarre kind of to-do list I've ever written in my life, you know.
Yeah.
But it was just sort of, just trying to chunk it down, you know.
And like you say, to do that here in London is a reminder that even while everyone seems to be on different pages, to a certain extent, well, it's that, here we go, it's that thing we were talking about last week, where you kind of sit down and you define your future and then you live it.
Yeah.
And then you turn around and say, well, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
And this is what we're all in this together looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... but initially we were sort of...
Sometimes.
Initially it was like we were all in this together apart.
Yes.
And now it feels a little bit more... like we're all in this together.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that... I think
that varies according to the individual.
Yeah, and according to geography. I mean, I think we're talking about very much on a local level.
Yes, yeah, totally. So I'm aware that it's different in the...
well, there's huge divisions in society.
Areas of the north.
It's important to recognise those as well. Interestingly, yesterday, have you ever seen or read A Monster Calls? A Monster Calls.
All right, no, I haven't.
A friend of mine was in the Old Vic production of it. It's on the left platform.
Yeah.
He's great. I felt really bad that I didn't see it. I'm always feeling bad that I didn't get to his plays.
Yeah.
Because he's in some brilliant ones. And this was another example of that. And my daughter was set to watch by school.
Yeah.
So it's quite... theoretically a bit of a nicer day at the office schoolwork wise because you just got the YouTube up on the telly and sat down to watch it, and by the end me and my wife were both watching it with her, and it's a really excellent production, but by goodness it was emotional. I mean, sad, yes, but deeply cathartic. And,
right.
And
what's it about?
It's about a teenage boy who's at school. He's not having a great time. He's kind of getting bullied.
Right.
He lives with his mum, who's got cancer. His dad lives in America with a new partner.
Yeah.
He doesn't go up with his grandma. And then that whole, you know, horrible situation is worked through from the point of view of kind of myth and story.
Right.
He's having nightmares, and he ends up kind of in a dialogue with the monster.
I like it.
Telling stories.
I like the idea, yeah, I like it a lot.
It's really good.
Yeah.
And it's so chewy. Such good storytelling, you know, really clear, really compelling and entertaining, even in its saddest, darkest moments.
Are you running down there? Because I could run with you for a
Yeah,
you
cool.
Want
and then, on the other hand, it's so chewy and meaty, you know, it's not in any way glib.
Right.
A lot of the conclusions are about things being good and bad at the same time.
Right.
The lack of easy answers.
Yeah.
You know? And really, it doesn't offer any simple fixes or Hollywood endings at all.
Right.
It just sort of says, I suppose if there's any kind of moral in it, it's kind of therapy, you know, talking, working things through is the good thing to do.
Yeah.
But even that is a kind of subtext. The only real story of it is this too shall pass, you know?
Yes, yeah.
And it was really fantastic. But yeah, funny when, because my estimable daughter saying, oh great, I get to watch something this afternoon. And then 2 hours later, 75% of the family on the sofa going, are you okay? I love you. And I think also, you know, it's absolutely brilliant and wonderfully democratic the way a lot of these great theatre productions have been streamed for free this year. But, you know, a lot of them, even really good productions, I think, don't make the jump in terms of watchability, you know.
Not because they're made
for... Because theatre's a different form.
Because they're made for theatre, yeah. They're talking about... That's another thing of this new normal of, like, let's just film theatre. Theatre's theatre, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's right, it's called theatre.
Yeah. I think partly, I think this is a great production, but I also think that it was just accidentally pitched perfectly, because it was very theatrical, very stylized piece.
Yeah.
But it's also very, on the one hand, it's very, you know, you can really feel it. You can feel the performance getting laughs and
right.
other emotional responses. But in other ways, it's very much like a kind of square screen. So the kind of fourth wall
yes.
is very much part of the design.
Right.
So I think, anyway, I just realised, of course, we watch it on YouTube. That's the Old Vic, A Monster Calls, by, is it directed good. By Patrick Ness? I don't know.
Sounds good.
Look it up. If you fancy a bit of tearful catharsis and rope work.
Are you watching TV most nights?
Let this person go past. Well,
that's all right, sorry.
I'm more, I always favour a film.
Yeah, but I mean, sitting down to, it feels like every day about 7:30, we'll find ourselves
well, every
in
day,
front of a screen. Hey, hey mate, good day, to see you.
Every day I write the book.
Yeah.
Every day, yeah, no, we do.
He's like, here we are again.
The thing we've got at the moment in that line is that we showed the kids Sherlock.
Oh, all right, yeah.
Which I have to say, I shifted away from Sherlock around series 3. I thought it jumped the Sherlock.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And watching them again, I think I was being a bit snooty.
You've been a bit harsh.
Yeah. So it's great. It's fantastic. Fantastic in terms of, because all four of us are really, really enjoying them, you know. Which
yeah,
is,
that's great.
You know, it's like with families. Everyone's got different tastes. Generally, when we sit down to watch something together, one of us is compromised.
Yeah.
Although we only watch good things, so it's not a problem.
So how do you circumnavigate the Finsbury bridge then?
What way? Do the last drop down by the, is it by the laundrette?
All right. Okay.
After the big wide bit, you drop down to the left. How far are you going to come?
I'll come with you to the drop down.
Until I jump off the walk.
Nice little extension for me. It means I'll have done about 7.5.
I always fancied that. Jumping back to conversational steps.
Go on then.
I always fancied that Golden Stag Mile.
Well,
ultimately, apart from the fact that it doesn't always happen,
yeah.
it's the fact that it's on a Friday evening.
Well, that's the shame of the current period for the comics is we've got our weekends free after all this time.
Yeah.
But nothing's going on.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
I'm actually quite looking forward to things happening before the gigs start again.
Yeah.
So I
yeah.
can just do a few of the normally things that people do.
Yeah, that's right. I just feel so lucky that I did that weekend at the Comedy Store, last knock-ins before the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, genuinely, also retrospectively concerned that the virus was spreading.
Yeah.
Even as I joked.
Yes, yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
But what can you do? It's in the past. Is this it? This is it, isn't it?
Right. Okay, mate.
All right, well, I'll come down a little bit so we can wrap up without being in the way. Yeah. Just walk down. So,
good fun.
Yeah, I'm going to go back. I'm going to do a sub-6-minute mile one day.
Yeah, I'm going to sprint home.
That end of that 5K, I was doing 5:50, a 5:50 pace mile.
Yeah.
But it should be noted, I did not do that
for the whole mile.
For a mile.
No, but it's still good, though. That's still a good lick to get.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like 88 seconds a lap. That's good, man.
Yeah, the slowest mile I did was 6:46. I need to be, if I'm going to get sub-20 when parkrun, if and when parkrun happens again, that's just basically 3 6:40 miles, isn't it?
Yeah, basically.
Slightly
faster because you got the 0.1 at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
But that was great. Thank you so much for all the pictures, people sending. Good luck with all your training. We see our old mate Martin Hutchinson's back on huge weeks.
Yes,
back on his 80, 90 mile weeks.
So take care, Martin. It's,
yeah,
it's Martin's just leading the charge of all the people who either got injured early in the lockdown or went into lockdown injured.
Yeah,
and are now enjoying the luxury of being back.
He's done really well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was going to look at.
Yeah,
and he was going to do. He was going to do York Marathon as well, wasn't he? So hopefully that'll come back.
That could happen. That's October, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what a lovely marathon that
hopefully
is.
Hopefully that would be great. But get in touch. Tell us what you're doing. Send us your pictures. And it's okay. And we will respond.
Yes.
Because
always.
We've got nothing else to do. We are grateful for any outreach you may want to offer.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.